Welcome to Hope Unveiled, the podcast that guides you on a transformative journey toward a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. We are Sunrise Church of Surrey, British Columbia, Canada, and our mission is to carry the hope and purpose of Jesus to those who may feel far from God. In each episode, we'll dive deep into the teachings of Jesus, offering practical insights and guidance for your faith journey. Whether you're taking your first steps in faith or seeking to deepen your existing relationship with Christ, we invite you to join us on this journey to embrace the hope that transforms lives.
We have a special guest speaker with us today. Dr. Brown hails all the way from Abbotsford, just down the road, and he's the former president of Arrow Leadership, and now is in a new role called the Arrow Ambassador, which he teaches, coaches, preaches, and writes a lot. And I would ask you to welcome him as he comes today to preach the Word of God. Welcome, Dr. Brown.
Well, good morning, Sunrise Church. It's special to be with you, not simply because I'm a fan and friend of Chris and Sherry, but also because we're at this unique hinge point of the year. And I don't know what you have planned to celebrate tonight or today at some point. Maybe you've also got a resolution or two that you're trying to discern and determine. Maybe you've got a fridge that needs to be cleaned. I'm not sure. Maybe you can wait till after tomorrow for that. But we're on the cusp of a new year. Across the world, the new year is unfolding. I started at 6 a.m. this morning with my daughter, Lauren, who's in Brisbane, Australia, and she sent me pictures of the fireworks. They were started already at 6 a.m. our time as Australia jumped into a new year. The new year for me and this day and tomorrow and the next couple days are special days for me because they're not just about celebration or cleaning or resolutions. They are about reflecting. And one of the important things in life is to be intentional about what's happened and what's ahead. And reflecting, taking a few moments to just reflect back. Can you remember where you were a year ago today? On the cusp of 2023. And whether or not you were on a mountaintop or in a desert or feeling like you're in a valley, there are some things this last year that I'm sure you're thankful for. And it's good to take a pause, to reflect, and to say, what am I thankful for? What can I celebrate from this year? Who am I thankful for who's walked alongside me and cheered me on? It's good to remember and to reflect on what's been hard, because I'm certain there have likely been hard things that you have navigated through, and maybe you're still navigating through. And it's good to be honest about those things and to bring them before the Lord for healing and help, and even just asking, Lord, what do you want me to learn in the midst of this difficult space? What hopes do you have for 2024? That's another question I ask as I reflect on the year ahead. What hopes do you have for 2024? Is there a focus word or a prayer or a phrase that you want to keep in front of you for the year ahead? You want to keep aligned to for the year ahead? I've been working with a couple different words, but I want to share with you one of the words that I want to keep before me in my prayers, in my line of sight in 2024, and that word is the word courage. I want to find more courage for 2024, and I want to give more courage in 2024. All of us, I believe, in this room are going to need courage in 2024. Whether you are optimistic about the year ahead, whether you're already overwhelmed by the year ahead, you're going to need courage for the year ahead. Jesus promised something to us, many things to us, but this one promise is one to keep in mind. He said, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus continues on. So there could be some trouble ahead. It's a promise, but we know the one who has overcome this world. The world we live in can be summed up under an acronym, and the acronym is VUCA, VUCA. We live in a world that is volatile, that's uncertain, that's complex, that has a lot of ambiguity to it. You don't just have to turn on the news to know this. It's probably in your own communities, in your own neighborhood, in your own home. We're in a season, a time of volatility where there is disruptive change that doesn't stop. Where there's uncertainty. We're not only uncertain about the future, we can be uncertain about today. Where there's complexity with the number of issues that we're not just trying to navigate in our own homes, but globally, where it's like turning the side of a Rubik's Cube. You move one side, but three other sides turn at the same time. And there's ambiguity. It's not just, is there a path? Which path is it? What are the unknowns, and what are the unknown unknowns that we're trying to navigate in the midst of a new year? We also enter into a year dealing with fears. I want to share with you a video clip from Charlotte's Web, of all places, to bring home this idea of fear. So let's take a watch.
How can he be in every cornfield?
It can't be the same guy. It can't be.
He's wearing the same hat. I'm telling you, he is following us.
I hate that guy.
I have got to get some guard, Owen.
All right. This is crazy. There's two of us, right? Trust me, there's two of us. And there's only one of him.
I don't know, man. He scares me. He really does.
Just think about that corn.
Yeah.
Corn.
The corn.
Corn.
All right, let's do it! Let's do it! Go!
Aboard!
Man, he is good. I bet he's laughing at us.
Don't look at him. Don't even give him the satisfaction. Just think about something else.
What's your scarecrow? What's your scarecrow as you look into 2024? What is it that's stirring fear in you already about the year ahead? Maybe it's the unknowns. Maybe it's the VUCA. Maybe it's the trouble that could come, or it's already there before you. Maybe it's fear of being rejected. Fear of conflict. Fear of someone or something. All of us navigate fears. The Bible is actually a book that is filled with people who are afraid. There's actually, I didn't do the looking up all myself, but apparently there's 365 plus admonitions to do not fear, do not be afraid in Scripture. That's like one of those year calendars. You just flip off one after another. Do not be afraid, do not be afraid, because God knows his people are fearful people. And when I think about praying for courage for 2024, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is choosing to follow after Jesus even when your knees are knocking. Right. Courage is not the absence of fear. It is choosing to follow after Jesus even when your knees are knocking. And in Scripture, a lot of people's knees were knocking, but they continued to choose to follow after Jesus. And that is courage. The fourth reason why I'm praying for courage for me and also for you in this next year is because of the mission. The mission that God has called this church to, has called me to, has called you to go and make disciples. And this picture up here gives you a little bit of a snapshot of what this mission is all about. That is, we're called to with all authority in heaven and on earth given to Jesus, we're called to go and make disciples of all nations. And the heartbeat of Jesus expressed through the cross is calling us from one place to another place. On this side is the from, and on this side is the to. And we are called from rejection to acceptance, from isolation to community, from division to reconciliation, from fear to trust, from selfishness to service, from brokenness to healing, from lies to truth, from condemnation to blessing, from death to life, from darkness to light, from despair to hope, from strongholds to freedom, from slavery to holiness, from injustice to justice, from toil to purpose, from chaos to shalom, from hate to love, from defeat to victory. Can I get an amen? This is the gospel we are called to follow after, to live out, and to point people to. Do you want to be all in to this side? It may require courage for you to keep moving from this side over to this side. And it's going to require courage to point people in your neighborhood, in your school, in your workplace, to this side. I believe that every single person you ever meet has been designed for this. And so many people are living over here. And as ambassadors of the gospel, we've been given the opportunity, the responsibility to say, this doesn't have to be your way. There's a better way. Because of the cross of Christ, and here it is. We need courage to walk from this side to this side. We need courage to point people to this side. Amen? So where do we find it? Where do we find courage in a world that's filled with fears? It's a VUCA world with troubles. A world where the mission we're called to is incredibly important. Where do we find it? I want to look to Paul in Philippians. Because in Paul, in Philippians, we see a man who's living in courage and with courage despite his circumstances, despite his challenges. Paul, who's unstoppable, Paul has been stopped. He is involuntarily social distancing. He's in jail. And he's writing a letter to the Philippians where he could take all the space in the letter to describe his problems, his challenges, his circumstances, because he's not doing what he's made to do, what he definitely wants to be out doing and planting more churches, preaching the gospel. He's in prison, away from whatever limited comforts he had, away from the people he wanted to be around, away from the primary mission he was called to. And you'd think that a letter written by a guy who's in that space would be filled with fears, would be filled with doubts, would be filled with griping and complaining. But Paul's in a very different space. We look at facing death. Paul writes this, "For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. It doesn't matter whether I live or whether I die because I've got Jesus." For his circumstances, which are not ideal, he's in jail. "I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances, whether I am in need or whether I am in want, whether I'm hungry or thirsty, it does not matter because I got Jesus." In the midst of all his challenges, which are significant, Paul writes, "I can do all things through him, Christ, who strengthens me." Paul is filled with joy. 16 times he talks about joy and rejoicing in Philippians. How can a guy who's in jail with uncertainty all around him, he is living VUCA, be filled with joy and be rejoicing? And not only that, he's a courage giver. He's giving courage to the Philippians. His letter is actually filled with encouragements. He says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I long for, stand firm. He's telling them to stand firm. Where's this all coming from? Where's this all coming from? It's coming from Paul's awe of Jesus. Paul has an awe and a wonder that he's captivated by. Paul is jazzed by Jesus. Philippians 3. I consider everything a loss because I'm at the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. It doesn't matter what I've lost because I want to know Christ, because he is better than anything or anyone else. John Stott, an English pastor, theologian, writer, statesman in the Christian faith, said this: we can talk about Alexander the Great or Napoleon the Great or Charles the Great, but not Jesus the Great. Stott says, Jesus is not the great. Jesus is the only. He has no rival. He has no successor. Only Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Only Jesus conquered sin and overcame the grave. Only Jesus rescues and redeems. Only Jesus can make you fully alive and complete. Only Jesus can give you true contentment and completeness. Only Jesus gives you a living hope that can never perish, spoil, or fade, because it's kept in heaven for you by Jesus. And only at the name of Jesus will every knee bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. As you end this year, as you start a new year, as you seek courage, your courage is a function, a byproduct of your awe of Jesus. Your courage is a function and byproduct of your awe of Jesus. How's your awe of Jesus? How is your awe of Jesus? And the next question is, what do you need in your life this next year to keep your eyes focused on Jesus and to stir your awe of Jesus and live your life centered on Jesus? What is it you need? What disciplines, practices, rhythms do you need in your life to center your life on Jesus, to grow your awe of Jesus in this next year? I'll give you a couple ideas. One is scripture. This is the day, everybody, where you jump on to the Bible app of your choice and you figure out a plan to navigate scripture over this next year. You need three things if you're going to be part of God's word in 2024. Those three things are a time, a place, and a plan. If you don't have a time each day when you're going to set aside a few minutes and be in God's word, you're actually not going to get into God's word. If you don't have a plan, and it could be, I'm going to read one verse a day. It could be, I'm going to read the Bible this month. I don't know what it needs to be for you. But there are options. There's an app for that. So you can make a plan. If you don't have a plan, you're actually not going to stay in God's word this year. And the third thing is, you need a place. Where is this going to happen? Is it going to happen in the kitchen table, on the living room couch, on the back porch, in the car, at the park? I don't know where, but you need those three ingredients. You need a plan, a place, and you need the time. What's yours going to be? If you can't answer all three of those questions, you're going to find yourself very soon not in God's word. Maybe you need to start memorizing God's word. I don't know if you've done that lately, but we've kind of, it's like a lost art, memorizing scripture, it seems. A lost discipline, a lost practice. One of the verses that was key for me this past year is Psalm 16, verse 8. Psalm 16, verse 8 is this: I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Where are my eyes focused? On the Lord. Where's the Lord? At my right hand. Where are my eyes? Focused on Him who's right here. He actually can look ahead at what's coming down the road. Our job is to keep our eyes focused on Him, and getting God's word into your head and into your heart is one way that can transform your life into a life of courage. Another practice I've been trying to work on is actually prayer, but praying the attributes of God through the alphabet. You have to get creative with a couple letters. Let me tell you that in advance. But if you begin to pray the alphabet of God's character and attributes, it begins to give you a bigger, fuller, clearer vision of who God is. And one of the greatest and most important things about you is what comes into your mind when you think about God. And to have a bigger, clearer, fuller vision of who God is actually leads to more courage. So let's get started. We can do this together a little bit. God, you are my advocate. You are the Alpha. You're the bread of life. You're the bridegroom. You're my counselor. You're compassionate. You're my defender. You're my deliverer. You are everywhere. You're eternal. You're faithful. You're my friend. You're my fortress. You are good. You are gracious. You're holy. You're my helper. You're immutable. You don't change. You're the great I am. You are the judge and the justifier. You are kind and you are the king. You are the light of the world. You're mighty. And we can keep going, amen? Praying. Here's another prayer for you. My friend gave me this prayer, and it's a prayer about fear. Here it is. When you have fear rising up in you, fear of blank, leave me. Peace of God, fill me. Fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of man, fear of leave me. Peace of God, fill me. That's a prayer to pull out when you start feeling the fear starting to rise up inside you. Scripture, prayer, community. Who do you need to be walking with this next year? Who's going to give you more courage this next year if you walk with them? Think about who needs to be part of your community. How this church can be part of your community. We can't do this walk by ourselves and still have courage. Courage comes oftentimes in community. The fourth practice I'd put out there for you is to share your faith. Nothing brings your faith more alive than opening up your mouth, asking a question, pointing somebody in some way toward that side of the cross. Who might God be calling you to share your faith with, your story, your Jesus with this year? God, show us who. God, give me the courage in the moment, in the opportunity. Those are some practices, scripture, prayer, community, sharing, that can help center your life and your faith on Jesus. That you would live a life of courage this year. My prayer for you, Sunrise Church, is that you would find more courage this year. My prayer is also that you would give more courage this year. The people in this room, every single person in this room needs more courage in some area of their life. People outside these walls in this community need courage. And I want to share with you, and I'm going to close with this in a moment, a story about giving more courage. Because I believe that we're called not just to find more courage, but to be courage givers. I don't know if you have a title or an official role, But I want to give you the role of CEO, Chief Encouragement Officer. Whether that's with your family, whether that's with your grandkids, whether that's with your workmates, whether that's with your schoolmates, that you would be the CEO, the Chief Encouragement Officer, wherever you go. If you do become the CEO, you will find that you have no limit to the opportunities God gives you. I want to tell you a story, and I'll wrap up. The story is of this man named Evan. Evan and I are at his 100th birthday party. Anybody been to a 100th birthday party? They start usually early in the day. You have to speak loudly, and you don't want to miss one because they don't come around very often. And I was invited, along with about 100 people, to Evan's 100th birthday party. It wasn't his family party. He had one of those. It wasn't his friend party. He had one of those. This was the party for those he poured his life into. And 100 of us were invited from all across the world. At my table in Pasadena, California, where I flew down from here to be at this party, at my table, there's a Hong Kong investment banker who flew from Hong Kong. There is a guy who works for NASA. I tried to figure out what he exactly did, but I couldn't figure it out after 3 tries. There was a young guy named Evan, like 18 years old, and I asked him, hey, are you named Evan because of Evan? And he goes, yeah, my dad's over there. Evan poured into my dad's life, and my dad wanted to honor Evan, so he named me after him. What happened at that birthday party was the best window into being an encouragement giver you could ever have, because every single one of us took the microphone and shared the impact that Evan had made in our lives. And the same, over and over again, the same practices came up over and over again. The first one that people would talk about was this: Evan, you saw me. Evan, you saw me, you noticed me, you paid attention to me. Even when there's a lot of people around, you somehow saw me. Second one: Evan, you loved me. You loved me even when I was unlovable. The third one: Evan, you prayed for me. You prayed for me in darkness when I couldn't even figure out the words to pray for myself. Evan, you modeled the way. Here we are at your 100th birthday, and you are finishing strong. You're finishing well. You're still mentoring some of us in this room. You've modeled the way at a time when many people don't finish well. Evan, you've given perspective. I remember calling up Evan, and I was in my 40s. I was overwhelmed with family responsibilities and work responsibilities. I felt like I was going under the water. And I reached out to Evan, and I thought, maybe Evan has a different perspective, being like 95 or so at the time when I called him. And I said, Evan, do you remember back in your 40s when you just felt like you were trying to gasp for air, you're going under the waves? And Evan said, actually, Steve, I don't really remember that stuff, which was actually perspective. Steve, why are you so caught up in the midst of this little window of time when double your life, add a few years, and put you in a rocking chair, and you're not even going to remember it? So I asked Evan, what would you do different if you could do it all over again? And he said, that's easy, Steve. I'd love people more. That's a mic drop moment. And Evan was a great encourager. I would come back from trips and have a voicemail flashing. I'd pick up the phone and dial my voicemail, and there would be Evan. Steve, sorry I missed you, but I wanted to remind you that I love you, I'm proud of you, and I'm praying for you every day. You can't hit 7 for, you know, delete on that kind of an email. I just want to keep listening because I need courage in my life, just like you do. What about this list? Do you need a PhD to live this out? Do you need a special title to live this out? Is it accessible to you today to live this out? with your kids, with your grandkids, with people at work, with the person at the store, at the gas station. See people, love people, pray with people, model the way, get perspective filled with wisdom, and be an encourager. That's this beautiful pathway to giving courage in a world that desperately needs courage. Evan, as wonderful as he was, didn't pick this up on his own. This actually comes from Jesus. Each one of these practices comes from Jesus. Jesus enters a town that's filled with people, but he sees a small tax collector up in a tree. He sees Zacchaeus. Jesus got down on his knees and prayed for his disciples. John 17, you want to hear the heart of Jesus for his disciples? He just goes for it. Jesus on his knees, loving his disciples with feet and hand as the king washes the disciples' feet. Jesus, who modeled the way, tempted in every way, just as you and I have been, yet without sin. Jesus, who walked with courage in his crucible moment to the cross. Jesus, who gave perspective to people who thought they knew everything about God. He would say, the kingdom of God is like, and he turned their worlds upside down. And Jesus, the encourager. Ask Peter, Peter, who is your greatest encourager? And Peter, the fisherman, the rock, would say, the one whom I denied three times before the rooster crowed. He was my greatest earthly encourager. More for me than anybody else. Do you know that Jesus lives out these same things with you? Do you know that Jesus sees you? Not just the person beside you, but Jesus sees you today. That Jesus is the advocate before the Father for you. Right. That Jesus loves you more than you can ever comprehend. That Jesus gives you the pathway to follow after. That Jesus gives you perspective through his word, through his life, through his ways, to live a different life. That Jesus is your greatest earthly encourager. Do you believe that? Let's be chief encouragement officers this year. Seeking to find more courage, but to give more courage. I'll close this time for real. I want to show you a picture of a gate. And this gate is inspired by a poem by a lady named Minnie Haskins. And the poem is called God Knows. And in this poem, she, I think there's one more click there. There we go. This is the poem. I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And the man replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be better than light and safer than a known way. This poem was read by a young Princess Elizabeth. In 1939, when she was still princess, she read this poem and she knew that her father, King George, had a very significant speech to give to the Commonwealth countries around the world. At a time that was VUCA in the world, because England was facing the Second World War in 1939 when this speech was made. And young Princess Elizabeth gave this poem to her father, who read it across the Commonwealth. That as each of us stand at a gate to a new year, we long for a light to tread into the unknown that's before us. That light is actually best found in the hand of God, our hand in his hand. If you've never done that before, today could be the day to say, I want to walk into 2024 with my hand in God's hand. I want to live on this side of the cross. I don't want any more of this. If you've never done that, today could be a day to do that. If you've already done that, choose this every day. This is a prayer to pray every day. God, I surrender and put my hand into yours. It's better than any known way. Amen? Amen.
Thank you for listening to Hope Unveiled. If you're interested in learning more about what you heard today, or if you would like us to pray for something specific for you, we invite you to connect with us on our website, sunrise.ca.